Welcome to No Bunts, the show for the casual baseball fan here on the Athletic Podcast Network. It's playoff time, baby. It's the best time of the year for baseball fans. I'm Tass Mellis in the Classic Factory. With me, the man making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
Hey, JD.
Sorry, we're late. I'm going to blame it on the dog.
Yeah, you were on your hands
on
and knees.
My hands and knees. Cleaning up piss.
No,
I'm a dog.
Listen, it's not on you whatsoever. It's all on me. Listen, the start time has changed a few times. I thought we would be going a little bit later because the games are going on right now, final day of the regular season. But the games technically do not matter. So we're doing this show during the final games. You can keep it tabs on your tabs on Twitter there if something big happens. But okay. The playoff bracket is set, and that is what we are here for, to describe, to explain everything going on in Major League Baseball's second season, because the format has changed. There are 12 teams now, 6 in each league that make the playoffs. Previously, it was 5 in each league. So, JD, if you can pull up the playoff bracket, let's take a look here. I'm going to go through exactly what's going on in Major League Baseball here as we hit October. Again, 6 in each league. 6 in the American League are making the postseason. 6 in the NL. It was 5-5. So it's 3 division winners in each league and 3 wild cards. Let's start with the American League. So the top 2 division winners, they get byes. In the American League, it's the Astros, who are playing incredible baseball, a little bit under the radar, I think overshadowed by the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League. And the number 2 seed are the New York Yankees. So those two teams get byes this year. That is brand new. They await the wild card series winners. There are 2 wild card series going on in each league this weekend. They are taking place Friday, Saturday, and if necessary, Sunday, because they are the best 2 of 3 games in those wild card series. Exciting stuff.
Bring it to basketball, I say.
What do you go? What do you mean?
For best of 3.
I'll bring the best of 3 to basketball.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. It allows for the underdog to win potentially more
right.
So than
yeah.
you're okay with that. Listen, it used to be best of 5 in basketball.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit,
just leaving money on the table. Let's be honest.
That's 100% true. but yes. Well, in baseball, traditionally, you know, going way back, basically there are 4 teams instead of 12 teams. Okay. So they are expanding. They are trying to get money in the pockets of everybody. It was proposed by the owners to have 7 teams in each league, but it's, the traditionalists want even less, fewer teams. They settled on 6, so those 2 teams get a bye, and the other division winner has to play a wild card winner, call it the 3-6, and then the wild card winners, the other 2, play as well. So 3-6, 4-5, we'll call them. And we'll go through here each series. The 4-5 is the Blue Jays, Mariners. The 3-6 is the Guardians and the Rays. The Guardians winning their division, the Cleveland Guardians winning their division. They will host the Tampa Bay Rays. Jays will host the Mariners, and then the division series, which are best of 5. They start Tuesday, and then the championship series, and then the World Series. So it's a big advantage to get one of those bye seeds.
Yeah.
If you're a wild card series participant here this weekend, you need to win 4 series. This wild card round also makes you throw out your best pitchers, and they're not as fresh for the next round. They end up having to pitch less. That taxes the bullpen. There's a trickle-down effect, and it's only 3 series for those top 2 teams in each league. So that's big. And these 3-game series, they're new, JD. Previously, it was a single elimination game to get in for those wild card winners. And there's the additional team in each league. It was 5, now to 6.
Right.
So is that somewhat clear? It is a little convoluted.
Yeah, it's clear. It's clear.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah,
you did a great job explaining it. And, you know, that bracket looks...
It's a nice bracket. We're going 3 games, 5 games, 7-7. If you're in the wild card, you need that 3 before you get to the 5. And, the Astros and the Yankees are waiting. We'll get to the NL in a sec. We'll get to even Aaron Judge's record. We'll get to a controversial photo deleted from a team social media account. we'll tell you about all the matchups, but let's stick with the AL for a sec because I got excited. I heard an audio clip of Jose Bautista, a former Blue Jay, hitting that dinger. Just heard the audio clip, heard the horn in the Rogers Center when they hit a home run. It gets sent chills down my spine. So I'm starting with the Toronto Blue Jays versus the Seattle Mariners, two wildcard teams, the 4-5 matchup. This is the battle for 1977. These two teams came in together as expansion teams in 1977. And we'll go through what's going on with each team. The Jays are going to be throwing out Alek Manoah in game one. They're excited about that. One of the best pitchers in the AL this season. Then Kevin Gausman hopefully will be ready for game two. He's got a laceration on his finger. And that's important because the Toronto Blue Jays are probably a little bit worried beyond Kevin Gausman. Ross Stripling, if necessary, will likely be the game three starter. Again, after Alek Manoah, I think it is up in the air at this point. They, I'm sure, wanted Jose Berríos to be that guy, that number three guy. They signed him to a long-term deal before this season, but he hasn't been that guy. But their bats are scary. They can hit bombs at any time. They can make that horn go off at any time. Vladdy Guerrero, MVP runner-up from last year, still a vaunted hitter. George Springer, Bo Bichette, who led the AL in hits. Alejandro Kirk, Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel hopefully will be in there. They are fantastic. That lineup can win you games. The pitching is a little scary. Their bullpen is a little questionable, but their closer has been lights out, Jordan Romano. He's been lights out, and he also lit up a cigarette that he was smoking during the Blue Jays celebration when they won their wild card spot. The Blue Jays social media account put it up and then took it down. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. He's got a pack of cigarettes in his hand as we're showing it to you on YouTube. Another Blue Jay's got a cigar in his mouth. That's allowed, but cigarettes is was the deal.
Why not? Why not cigarettes?
It's just one of those taboo things these days, JD. It's legal. It's totally legal.
Totally legal.
There's alcohol in the photo.
Yep.
Cigars in the photo, as I said. But it's the cigarettes. It's one of those things that you don't see anymore. And I wonder if he wasn't holding a pack of cigarettes. I wonder if that also kind of forced their hand in a way.
Yeah. But what do we got there? Du Maurier Light there?
No, that's not a red pack.
There's no – it's all warning now, the entire package of a cigarette. Mm. I was in Toronto a couple of weeks ago, and he showed me it's just one big warning label.
Ah, right. They have changed. So warning, I guess that's part of it. That's part of the sort of the stigma around it.
Yeah.
And that's why the Jays media account took it down. Anyways, I thought that was interesting.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. It is gross.
Kids. There's kids watching, right? Yeah. Are there kids watching? There's kids watching.
Absolutely. Especially on social media. They saw that. Listen, cigarettes are gross. Vaping is gross. Juul was, I think they had to settle a huge lawsuit because they're advertising to children.
Yeah.
Disgusting. It is gross. Anyways, it's legal though, so it's kind of odd. Let's get to the Mariners side of things. They are into the playoffs for the first time since 2001. A very, very long time ago. It was the longest playoff drought in North American professional sports, longer than any NFL team, NBA team, or NHL team. Now the longest drought belongs to the Sacramento Kings of the NBA.
Wow.
And that's why this call by Dave Sims of the walk-off home run that sent the Mariners to the playoffs for the first time in 21 years sounded the way it does. Roll it, JD.
3-2 to Cal. The pitch from Acevedo. A drive deep to right field. Down the line. The Mariners win this game 2-1. The dream lives. They're going to the playoffs. The drought is over. Cal Raleigh. Wow. Hey now. Hey now. Hey now.
Yes. Dave Sims, great call there. Unfortunately, I think their playoff run will end against the Toronto Blue Jays this week. And listen, I'm an optimist. They can obviously beat the Jays. Yes, we're cheering for the Toronto Blue Jays here in the Classic Factory.
That's, of course.
Of course, we'll be cheering for a Jays-Braves World Series, but let's not get too ahead of ourselves. we'll be back on Monday to talk about the World Card Series, but I am... enthralled by the Mariners' best player. Their Mariners story starts with Julio Rodriguez, the 21-year-old center fielder. Anytime you hear people talk about Rodriguez, it's just joyful is the word that comes up quite often. He's confident, but not overconfident. He's a jersey-selling machine. I fell in love with him at the All-Star game. He was mic'd up. Recently, he had a lower back problem, but he is back playing. But he is a joy to watch. He's the old five-tool player that I know of baseball. He's the fourth player in MLB history to hit 20 homers and 20 stolen bases in his first season. 27 homers, 25 stolen bases. Love a guy who steals bases. Suarez leads their team with 31 homers and 84 RBIs. Cal Raleigh, who just walked them off there, leads all catchers with 25 long balls. Ty France leads them in hits. But the rest of their bats, a little disappointing this year. Jesse Winker, Carlos Santana, not that Carlos Santana, and Mitch Haniger have been disappointing. So they do have questions going into the series with the Jays. They don't know who will be on the team. Sam Haggerty, he just injured his groin stealing second on Monday. Guess that's why guys don't steal second base. But the larger bases, that's going to reduce injuries. The larger bases next year will reduce injuries. I say they don't know who they're playing. Manager Scott Servais said they are going to take every minute to decide who's on the roster because, yeah, they've got some questions. But pitching wins in the postseason, and that's where the Mariners easily stack up against the Blue Jays. Luis Castillo came over in that midseason trade. The Yankees were seemingly in the lead for Castillo's trade services. That didn't happen. They got Frankie Montas instead. Castillo has been fantastic for the Mariners, pitching at 98, 99. They got a deep, strong rotation, though, along with Castillo. Former Blue Jay Robbie Ray, Cy Young last year, Logan Gilbert, Marco Gonzalez, and George Kirby, and a strong pen. I think the Jays are the favorites, considering they've got home field, even though their pitching is a little questionable. But the Mariners, they're going to be nervous, right? They haven't played since 2001 in the postseason. I'm sure that won't be a problem. But it will be a great three-game set. The Blue Jays excited to be on their home field Friday, Saturday, and if necessary, Sunday. 2001, a long, long time ago, which probably should shorten here as the playoff field has expanded. But since it was so long ago, we wanted to show you what the No Dunks crew was doing in 2001. Here are a few photos if you're following along on YouTube, and I will absolutely explain it as best I can for the audio listeners. First, here's Trey Kirby with tight hair, looking good. Actually, I do believe he performed Bye Bye Bye. I think the day this photo was taken.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So the JT similarity, like that's on purpose. Like this is.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think because, he had a, you know, a JT.
Oh, 100%. But like this photo screams Justin Timberlake.
Absolutely.
So what do you mean he was performing? Like
I think they performed it in high school at a talent show.
Okay.
There's a thread on Twitter I saw.
Oh, shit.
And, yeah. Anyways, here's Lee Ellis, always traveling.
Huh.
He's in front of Christ the Redeemer here in Rio. Always. He's always got a photo of the spots that he's been to. Here's Skeets in 2001 playing a guitar on the car at a cottage, it looks like.
It looks like it, or it could be. There's an escarpment behind him. Is that what that's called? Like a, well, that's, it's a hill, I guess, or something. It looks very mountainous because there's another hill in the background.
Yeah, there. That's why I think it's cottage country, cabin country up in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what Skeets is strumming along to there. I know he's he's always wanted to get better at the guitar.
Yes.
I wonder if he had a song in mind there.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll ask him in person. And here's JD in 2001. This is a surprise. Whoa.
Yeah, this is me and my buddy Derek on a beach in Cabo. I, too, like to travel, Lee Ellis. So there you go. Yeah. Bleach blonde hair under that hat there. And I think I've got a shark's tooth around my neck or something.
Do you know if LeBron James's house was close to where you guys were?
Oh, great question. Back then, I probably... Yeah. Well, he didn't have a house.
No, he was 16. He probably didn't. Although he had a Hummer. You know, close to that timeline. But he recently bought he's got a house that's near a pickleball court. He recently bought a pickleball team, I do believe.
Yeah.
He said recently, there's a pickleball court by my house in Cabo. So that's why I knew he had a house in Cabo. Anyways, the last photo is of me. I'm cheating. This isn't 2001. It's a couple years later, but I love this photo of myself with Rowdy Roddy Piper and Bobby Heenan. both who have passed in recent years, but it's me with Rowdy Roddy Piper and Bobby Heenan flipping the bird.
Flipping the bird.
In the back.
Wow. Hey, yes. People listening are going to have to go to YouTube to see this photo because it is – it's one – you got a Tony Stark goatee going. You got your – you used to shave your head. I only knew you as a shave head guy for the first 3 or 4 years that I knew you, which is crazy because you got one of the greatest heads of hair in sports broadcasting. So it's true.
Yeah. Me and Jared Greenberg.
Yeah.
Always
Jared Greenberg got very close second.
Yeah. Anyway, so the winner of the Toronto-Seattle series faces the Astros. And as I said, they're kind of flying under the radar. They have made 5 straight ALCS and gone to the World Series in 3 of those 5 years. And, man, it feels like they're going to do it again, unfortunately, as they take on Toronto or Seattle in the CS again, which start Tuesday. It's a tough side of the bracket because the other side of the bracket, the 3-6 series, it's the Cleveland Guardians hosting the Rays. The other division winner are the Guardians. On opening day, they were long shots to win the AL Central. They're a bunch of young and up-and-comers. They are the youngest team to make the playoffs since the 86 Mets. Average age of them, 26.3, 16 rookies this season. They do it with small ball. It's a fun team to cheer for. They are a sound baseball team. They lead the AL in contact rate. They don't swing and miss. They strike out the least of any team in the league. They're smart and aggressive on the base pass. They use the whole field. They work counts. They're number one in stolen base success rate. They really get thrown out. They don't hit dingers, though. They're second last in Major League Baseball. So some project them to be a quick out in this postseason. Because they don't do it sort of the modern way by hitting dingers. On September 10th, there were questions as to whether or not the Guardians were going to win their division. It was close. They had just a 1.5 game lead over the more experienced Twins and White Sox, but they plowed right through those teams, winning 10 of 12 against them. Jose Ramirez is their star, their third baseman. He took less to be there. Stephen Kwan in the outfield, Andrés Giménez at second base are great to watch. He made that incredible play in the All-Star game, if you remember that. The old backhanded flip. Shane Bieber, Tristan McKenzie, Cal Quantrill, a Canadian. Father Paul Quantrill played in the majors for a long time. Those three starters are going to be probably their 1-2-3, if necessary, this weekend against the Tampa Bay Rays. And it could be a low-scoring series because the Guardians got the pitchers, the Rays have pitchers and defense, and could go a long way, especially because they got the Yankees side of the bracket, which is an easier side than the Astros. The question is, for the Rays, will their offense show up? A lot of holes in that lineup. Randy Arozarena has been hot. Isak Paredes has been good, but the rest of them barely non-existent. So a lot of pitching in this series. Brandon Lowe, Mike Zunino, Kevin Kiernaier have all been gone for the rest of the season. They are all done with season-ending injuries. Yandy Diaz, Wander Franco, and David Peralta have to step up in a big way. So the winner faces the Yankees on that side. The Yankees got it done. They won the AL East after a roller coaster of a season. We talked about it plenty here on No Bunts. But they got some history done. Aaron Judge hit 62 homers, the most in Yankees history. You may have heard of it. The first 60 spot in Major League Baseball since 2001. When everyone was digging the long ball. Now, people claiming that is the real home run record because it was the juice era when Bonds hit 73. But that number, 73, is still the real number. Barry Bonds, absolutely incredible to watch some of the old clips of how much people were frightened by him at the plate, how much he was pitched around in that time period. There's the great clip of Eric Gagne, a power pitcher, Canadian, going up against Barry Bonds. Actually, Barry Bonds, I heard this said on the Athletic MLB show via Eno Saris, Barry Bonds was intentionally walked more than the Tampa Bay Rays have been intentionally walked in the history of their franchise. Every hitter in the history of the franchise total hasn't been intentionally walked as much as Barry Bonds. Wow. The Rays have been around 25 seasons. That's how good Bonds was. Now, people will say that's because the juice, because he was on steroids. He was an incredible hitter.
You're saying there's no asterisk there
for Bonds? No, you can't take away the home run record. You can't take away the home run record.
I'm not saying you take it away. I just saw a headline or a tweet or something today that said 62, no asterisk. So
that's fair. Definitely no asterisk. And okay. I think maybe the more impressive part is that this the hitter with the second most home runs in Major League Baseball is like 16 behind, which is a big number behind him.
Right.
So he's running away with it. But to hit one every two games like Bonds did, yeah, that's the record. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, you can't quantify the juice, the steroids.
Yeah.
Obviously, the number of home runs, and that's why I bring up that it's the first 60 home run season since 2001. The number of home runs was extremely high then as a time period, and that's why it's really impressive, even more impressive to me than, you know, surpassing the Yankees record.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hitting 60, period.
Yeah.
So
there was no four-seam fastball back then. Was there?
Yeah, sure, there was, yeah.
Oh, shit. Damn. I'm a one-tool podcaster.
Well, anyways, there were a lot of home runs back then. But, you know, going into this series, obviously they've got Aaron Judge. There are some questions about the Yankees lineup, which is fair. Their starting pitching is coming along, though. Gerrit Cole, their ace. The most strikeouts in Yankees history kind of surprised me with 257. Nestor Cortez is peaking at the right time. 1.8 ERA in September. His fastball is getting faster, apparently. 1.7 miles per hour faster since April. That's why I read The Athletic. That's a cool stat. Although he hasn't found out who poured beer down the back of his pants during the Yankees celebration, which is gross. Luis Severino's pitching all right. It's kind of overshadowing the fact that their trade deadline acquisition of Frankie Montas has not been. That could come back to bite them because, as I said, they lost out on Luis Castillo, who went to the Mariners. The bullpen, though, is the big question mark for them. Aroldis Chapman, second highest paid Yankees pitcher. He may not even be on the postseason roster. They've got injuries. I don't know if they have the arms, but against a Tampa Bay Rays or Guardians, they will be the favorite, although the Astros are the favorite in the AL. So that's the AL side of things. We'll take a quick break. Honestly, it will be a quick break. I know people say that this one should be quick, and then we'll get to the NL and that incredible Mets story.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Welcome back to No Buns. Let's get to the NL side of the playoff bracket because that is extremely juicy here. The first series we'll talk about, the 4-5 Mets Padres. Now, the Mets didn't think they'd be a wild card team. They thought that they would win the division in the NL East. That went to the Atlanta Braves, though, as we'll talk about. they are the 2 seed to the Dodgers 1 seed. So the Dodgers and the Braves await the 2 wild card series winners this weekend, Mets, Padres, and Cardinals, Phillies. So let's start with the Mets and Padres. It wasn't supposed to be this way. They were supposed to win the AL East. They were up 10.5 games on the second place Braves on June 1st. A team leading their division by 10.5 games hasn't ended up losing their division title in 27 years. Hasn't happened since 95. And it came down to this past weekend in a series versus the Braves. They just needed to win 1 game against Atlanta to win the East. But the Mets were swept. What a turnaround. Whew. The Mets are in a 3-game wild card series now after thinking they'd get a bye against a great San Diego Padres staff. And if they win that, then a division series versus the 110-win Dodgers team. And Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer, because of the way the dates break out here, work out here, they'll just go once in that division series if they get by the Padres. And Scherzer and DeGrom just didn't get it done on Friday and Saturday. Scherzer on Saturday, there was some bad luck there with a check swing by Ronald Acuna, but the Braves just, they just out-hit the Mets, and that's the beauty of the Braves lineup. They can hit some bombs. Actually, Scherzer and DeGrom were they're expected to get a win, one of those wins at least this weekend. Actually, The Athletic conducted a recent anonymous MLB player poll with 200 players. The question was asked, who would you want starting a Game 7? The top two answers were DeGrom and Scherzer, and they lost both their games this weekend. Actually, closing a game was also a question. Who would you want closing a game? The Mets' Edwin Diaz was the number one choice. It's easy to say the Mets collapsed the last few months, but they played at a 96-win pace since June 1. The Braves were just that much better. They've been on par with the Dodgers since June 1st when they started a 14-game win streak. Through Sunday, the Dodgers were 77-33. The Braves were 77-32 since June 1st. They had a not a players-only meeting on June 1st, the Braves did. They had a closed-door meeting. Different terminology than usually than in basketball. Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, he didn't flip tables. He was calm. He said his young players have never been spoken to that way, and they wouldn't respond that way. I thought that was interesting. Huh. A little gentle with the Braves players. I don't think they have to be babied. But anyways, the Mets will be playing the Padres. And again, a real tough path. It's tough. It's very tough. This adding of a couple wild card series games here, making it more of a series instead of the 1-game elimination, makes you throw your best pitchers out there. And they're going up against a San Diego Padres team that has some great starters themselves. Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, and Blake Snell. That could be enough to win this weekend, especially because their hitters have not been as impressive as you'd think. Juan Soto, the prize acquisition at the deadline, hit 17 doubles and 21 homers for the Nationals at the time of the trade, but since joining the Padres, just 7 doubles and 5 homers. Josh Bell, also involved in that deal, 24 doubles and 14 homers for Washington, but only 5 doubles and 3 homers post-trade. Josh Hader, the Brewers closer that came over, 29 saves and 31 opportunities for them, but just 5 saves and an ugly 8.78 ERA with San Diego. They're going to need the bats and Hader to some degree to come on, but they've got the starting pitching to deal with the Mets. And again, the winner faces the absolute favorite to win it all, not just in the National League, to win the World Series, the Los Angeles Dodgers. They are in their 10th straight postseason. They have won 9 of 10 division titles. Actually, this team, this 2022 team, is top 5 wins all time. They're at 110 wins, tied for the 5th most wins in MLB history. They're actually playing right now, so it could come to 111 wins, which would make them 4th all time. The Dodgers become the first 110-win team in the NL since the 1909 Pirates. I don't know if you're checking, JD. Don't worry about it. They're mid-game right now. It doesn't matter. They have no problems. It's okay. They're tied at 1. They really have no problems going into the postseason. They don't even know who their closer is. Dave Roberts recently said, Craig Kimbrell is not our closer. They'll figure it out. And again, the rest keeps the bullpen fresh, and that is by far the biggest advantage, I think, just not having to throw your pitchers out there. We talked about it a few times on No Bunts. Is it better to keep your players in rhythm to play the rest of the weekend, to play every day like you do during the regular season, have your hitters seeing pitches? Nah. The fact that those guys have to throw so many pitchers, their best pitchers, out there this weekend, that hurts them. The other series, on the other side of the bracket, it's the 3-seed St. Louis Cardinals, Central winners, hosting the Phillies. Phillies, that's great for them. They ended their postseason drought, but they're going up against a vaunted team with Albert Pujols, keeps hitting dingers, 700+, fourth all-time in home runs, second in RBIs, passing Babe Ruth, only behind Hank Aaron. And, you know, the cool story of Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina setting the MLB record for most starts as a battery, 327. It's pretty wild how their careers have aligned this way. And it was a nice moment this past weekend. Wainwright, Molina, and Pujols all taken off the field at the same time. Pujols expects to be done. Molina expects to be done this season. And Wainwright could be done as well. Although Adam Wainwright, according to Eno Saris at The Athletic, has lost 1.9 velo since April. 1.9 miles per hour. Yeah, sometimes you get old and you lose your velo.
Tell me about it.
You lose your fastball, you lose your velo, yes. Roman or somebody like that has got to write that into their ad copy.
I think you just wrote your next Roman.
Yeah, I sure did. I've been watching a lot of MLB baseball. Roman, all over that that channel's lower third bar. Roman in big letters. Anyways. Adam Wainwright, not an ad, by the way. Adam Wainwright is 41 years old, but he's fun to watch because he doesn't throw as hard as most players. His 92 miles per hour was his peak speed in April, down to 89 in September. But the question with the Cardinals overall is if their starting pitching their starting pitching is good enough to keep up with the competition, because their hitting should be Paul Goldschmidt, MVP candidate, and Nolan Arenado, probably going to win the Silver Slugger and Gold Gloves for their respective positions. I'm excited to watch them against the Phillies, who ended an 11-year playoff drought. As I said, they fired Joe Girardi after starting 22-29. They inserted Rob Thompson into the manager seat, who's a very calm individual, very, very calm, keeping the Phillies calm. And the playoffs are usually about the bullpens. You play your pitcher bullpens a ton, and Sir Anthony Dominguez, not Sir Anthony Dominguez, just one word, Sir Anthony
not
Dominguez.
A knight.
Not a knight. He has not been knighted. He is back, which is really, really important for them. Another interesting fact for me as a modern baseball fan, Kyle Schwarber, 46 home runs, who is leading the NL in homers, second overall to Aaron Judge's 62. He only has a 219 average, but that doesn't matter in modern-day baseball. He's got a great barrel rate. The ball hits his barrel a ton, and he doesn't chase. He's got a good chase rate as well. So it should be a good series. The winner, though, faces the 2-seed Braves, who, as I said, are essentially a 1-seed. They play as well as the Dodgers, so I'm kind of hoping for a Braves-Dodgers championship series. You can call the Braves a better team than last year's World Series winner, actually, because they feel so comfortable with their starting pitching going into this postseason, unlike last year when they actually had two bullpen games in the World Series. Bullpen games meaning they started relievers in the World Series and got through it by pitching a bunch of different pitchers. They feel way more confident this year with Max Fried, Kyle Wright, Charlie Morton, and Spencer Strider. If he comes back from the oblique injury, it's their fifth straight division titles. They feel good, as I said, since June 1st, absolutely smoking hot. And the only thing that really can slow them down is that oblique injury to Spencer Strider. But he has been working on that core, doubling down on the core exercises, according to David O'Brien of The Athletic, and of No Bunts fame as well, as we had D.O.B. on the show on a little earlier this season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was great. So that's it for the playoff primer there. Watch the No Dunks Twitter account. I'm going to force the guys to watch a baseball game with me, and you guys can watch along this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the wild card series go. And then Monday is a day off for MLB. Tuesday is when the division series starts. So Monday we'll be back to talk about the wild card series. We're going to take a quick break right now, but after it, tweet of the night.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, welcome back to No Buns. Had fun with that playoff primer, but I had a lot more fun reading this tweet. Time for the tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
It's a little back and forth. That's the important part. First tweet comes from EM Hudson Liz, who said, dudes can literally just sit around and name old sports players and just have the best time.
We've made a career out of that.
That was liked a quarter of a million times by people like us. The response is great from Kyle Boggs, who tweeted, decades of gender/sexuality research tell us this is a, quotes, dude thing, because some men still don't have social permission to create direct bonds with other men. Those bonds have to be indirect through sports talk, women, etc., which is one of many ways the heteropatriarchy hurts men too, which is totally correct.
Sure.
We don't talk about our feelings, which is responded to by Crash Override to Kyle Boggs. If you remember, the Kyle Boggs was the first responder. The response to Kyle Boggs is, any relation to Wade Boggs? That's tweet of the night.
Love it.
Well done by everybody right there. So I love that. I love that tweet exchange. I am going to love the wild card series this weekend. Again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Any interest? Yeah, in all sincerity, any interest? Am I forcing you to be involved?
In all sincerity, I am interested. First of all, you got me all riled up just then. This has been a great preview for me. I've heard five-tool player. Not sure what those five tools are, but
Me neither.
Barrel rate, that's a new one for me too.
Yeah.
Look, we got the Jays and we got the Braves. I've got a team in each league.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be rooting for them all the way. And what if? What if, Tess?
Mm-hmm.
What if it was a repeat of 30 years ago? The last time I watched, I took interest in baseball. 29 years ago, actually, is when the last time.
Yeah.
But, it'll be crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, wait, it's not going to happen.
It's unlikely to happen. It's unlikely to happen. But
still, it's fun to think about, and it's fun to have two home teams now. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's fun that you're involved.
Yeah.
That you're into it.
I'm not saying I'm going to jump on that game with you this weekend, but I might. I might.
You should, though.
Yeah.
Because I think we're doing it on a service called Playback, which is very fun. It's got a great platform. Great platform.
Very cool interface.
Yes.
And you can watch. You can literally watch the game and see our faces.
Mm-hmm.
And you can move us around and customize it. And you basically just have to. You'd use your own subscription service to watch whatever game we're watching. What are we watching? Jays game, right?
I assume so.
Yeah, I assume so too.
Yeah, we're watching. It's Jays Mariners. All three games.
Yeah. Oh, the Braves aren't in it, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, the Braves aren't in a wild card series. I don't even know if I said as I gave the primer. All three games will be played in the home park.
Yeah.
Of the home team, and so there's no traveling whatsoever.
Because
so.
That would have been a bitch for.
It would be.
You know, and Toronto to Seattle and then back for, like, one day.
Yeah, it did. You'd think that the middle game would be going to the other team,
you
right?
You would
think. Yeah, yeah, but in the WNBA, they tried out this season, actually, the three-game set with the last game going to the visiting team. So you'd play two home games.
How's that home?
Home court advantage, yeah. I totally – it's a question for me. I don't –
If anything, you should play the first game in the visitors.
Mm. I mean, the right way is the middle game.
That is the right way.
But it's a lot of extra flying. The three-game set in one park makes a lot of sense, especially because that's how they do it during the regular season. I do think that makes the most sense.
Totally.
So that's what's going on. And then I do think they go 2-2-1 in the five-game set, and then 2-2-1-1-1 in the CS and the World Series, where they go 2-3-2. Anyways, this isn't a primer about the championship series and the World Series. This is a primer for the World.
One series at a time.
All right, we'll be back after that one series on Monday to talk about the four wild card series, and then the four division series start on Tuesday. So we will set you up for that. But for now, Clipper Bros.
Oh man. I was ready, and then I wasn't ready.
I didn't know we were going to go that long. I didn't know you were going to endorse playback like that. Sign up for a playback account. Why not? Should be
fine. Sure. Okay. Now let's. Here's the Clipper Bros.
Here they are.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
So this triple shift is getting to me.
Oh yeah. Well, me too. Big time. Yeah. I didn't even mention that all three games were in one park to start the show. Right. But we got there. Hopefully you listened to the whole show. Hopefully you'll be back with us on Monday for another edition of No Bunts. And it won't be a triple header. No, sir. Anyways, enjoy the wild card series, everybody.